Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, just for the record, my name is Mick Cope, and I'm the new game division manager as of a couple months ago. So it's my privilege to be here in front of you today and present to you a lot of hard work that has gone on through the game division and through the public and our regional offices over the past 9 months. So my presentation today will try and walk you through what that public process was, and then that'll kind of set the table up a little bit for the series of presentations that you'll see coming from Game Division staff on a variety of hunting issues. Our season setting process that we use on this, which is a three-year package, the proposal, we bring major hunting issues to the forefront, work them through the public meetings, and come out with these recommendations that are of kind of bigger nature. On an annual basis, things of kind of a smaller scale or permit numbers and things like that, we try and do that on an annual basis. But in these three-year package season setting processes, we try and break things up into three phases. And those three phases are going to kind of go something like this. With phase one, what we call a scoping effort, where we identify major issues that not just our own staff identify these issues. We reach out to the public. We have public meetings. We have surveys that we conduct where we try and get ideas from the public about what's important to them. An example of such a thing in kind of that bigger overarching thing is hunter recruitment retention as being an issue. We then step into kind of refining those issues where we take those and create alternatives. And as an example, we here's a couple of examples about hunter recruitment and retention. These are some alternatives where we could provide some more special permit opportunities for hunters over 65, or providing more youth opportunity. Those are examples of the alternatives. Then we go through another loop of process with public input and working with our regional staff and the biologists, and we develop rule recommendations for rule proposals from those alternatives. And so just as an example, a rule proposal could say relate to providing 15% of the antlerless deer permits to youth. So those kind of tie together in that overarching fashion. So when we went through our first phase, which started in June of 2014, we identified 23 major hunting season issues. We try and work these and compare them with our game management plan, which the commission adopted in December, I believe. And we found that there were these 23 major issues that were consistent with that game management plan. And so it's also important to note that that game management plan had a significant public input to it as well. So moving forward in our scoping, one of the first places we touched bases was in June with our Game Management Advisory Council. And that group is made up of different hunting organizations and representatives of the hunting community, and provided feedback on which kinds of issues that we as the agency may consider. We also reached out to our regional staff and across the state in all six regions and asked for different issues from those folks as well. That was combined with an online scoping survey where the general public could weigh in. And this wasn't a random survey or anything. This was just, here, this web page is open. Feel free to jump on there and tell us what you think. We had that scoping survey open for a little over a month. And then we took the issues that were identified through that effort and brought them to the regional staff and said, let's look at these things and see what kinds of alternatives we might be able to start fashioning. Just a little brief insight into that internet-based issue survey that we conducted. We had over 11,000 comments come in from the public on a variety of issues, but I'm just going to list the top seven issues that survey brought forward. They included baiting for deer and elk, special permit drawings, mule deer hunting, and hunter access fees on private industrial timberlands, specifically on the west side of the state. Changes to hunting equipment regulations, four-point restrictions, in GMUs 117 and 121, and then early muzzleloader elk season was an issue that was high on the radar. So through all of that process, we come, take it into the second phase where we started developing those alternatives. And we asked staff, both headquarters staff and regional staff, to start looking at those issues and developing alternatives, and that was this past August. We also collected comments online. We had posted the alternatives online and asked for public comment for that August through September timeframe. We also had six public meetings that were that we had a group from headquarters tour around, and then to each region, and then regional staff would join those bigger group meetings. Kind of interestingly, towards this more technologically advanced world that we live in, more and more comment is coming to the agency through online means rather than the public meeting side. But as you can see, we got no shortage of that public input on these things before. But despite that, there are certain places where we actually wanted to have some additional meetings. So beyond these six public meetings, we have some focus group meetings, one in Colville and one in Southwest Washington as well. So we also wanted to make sure that we noted here that during this process, we've had regional staff primarily working in with their local tribal representatives to try and make sure we had that communication line open. For the public comment period that we had online for the alternatives, we had another 1,500 public comments collected, and these are the four top major topics that came out of that, where people were most interested in deer and elk hunting, equipment, some permit drawings, moose and some drawing odds kind of thing for those highly sought after limited permits, and some hunter recruitment and retention strategies. So that took us through our third phase where the headquarters staff developed some guidelines that were pretty general in nature, things like, look in your region to find out where you might be able to encourage or implement more muzzleloader opportunity for the early muzzleloader season, or look in your region to see if you can help simplify some rules with one of your with deer hunting. So that kind of is a team approach between headquarters and regional staff. We also discussed these three-year season recommendations with our Game Management Advisory Council in December. That was the third meeting, or the second meeting with GMAC on this three-year package. We also had a public comment period. Once we got to February, the actual rule proposals were put online. I think we shared those comments with the commission. There was a link provided to see the actual comments that had come in during that month-long period of the public actually seeing what the actual rule proposals were. We had a time period in March right after that public comment period ended where staff reviewed those comments and made a few more adjustments. Even at that point, which are now included in your notebooks. We had a meeting on March 7th, and I think you heard a little earlier about the GMAC meeting that was held here in early March. Went through all of the rule proposals with them one last time, and had a very good discussion on several topics. When we did our public outreach on those rules, we had another 4,000 comments from 1,400 individuals, and these are the top six issues that were commented on. Deer and elk baiting by far was the most common subject that people wanted to comment on, followed by some equipment requirements, which you'll see. In all cases, you'll see rule proposals on these subjects as we move forward with the staff reports. So as Game Division Manager here, it's an exciting time for me to look at this process and all of the public input that was brought forward, all the regional coordination that we went through, and I think it's an exciting thing also to show kind of some increased hunting opportunities that have come out of kind of the process. And this is a long list and it's a lot of words, but just to kind of paraphrase, we have some increased opportunities in modern firearm mule deer season. We've had some adjustments to archery season. The proposals that we're carrying forward have adjustments to archery season. More muzzleloader season, which is one of the, you saw was one of the most common, commonly commented on subjects. We have moose permit opportunities that are increasing. We have some antlerless permits in a variety of scenarios, both elk and deer. We have a multi-season permit opportunity that we're looking at being able to provide more opportunity to specifically deer hunters through the multi-season permit process. There's more dove hunting opportunity that you're going to be hearing about as we move forward, and also increasing both cougar and bear hunting opportunities as well. It's important to me that a number of the issues that are on this list came to us from the public process. It wasn't just generated from department staff. And I think that's a value that we bring through this large process we go through every 3 years. So we have a couple of final steps. First one today, get a chance to present the recommendations to this commission today and gather public testimony, and then present final recommendations coming in April for your decision. So at that point, I kind of give you a thumbnail sketch of the process that we went through over the last 9 months, and certainly be open to answering any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mick, I guess I was a little bit surprised to see no one raised any concerns about pheasant opportunities. Were there no comments indeed on pheasant?
No, there certainly were. When you get 4,000 comments, and I had to boil them down to the top 10 or so, it just didn't quite raise quite as high as elk hunting. but there were comments certainly received from members of the public that were asking us to bring seasons more in line, all of the upland bird seasons together, both quail and pheasant, and kind of so they all kind of matched up. So if you were out hunting one, it was okay to hunt the others, and others that were showed concerns of various types, but just didn't reach quite up on that top 10 list.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Back to your one slide, you were given the top 10.
I gave you a couple top tens.
Yeah,
but, this one or one of the
The baiting and
this one.
No, the other one. It's no big deal. That's
okay.
Just a more of a. Okay, 1,500 comments on baiting, and then what was the other one? Okay, are you going to give us a breakdown of pros and cons of who was for it, who was against it?
Who was for it and who was against it? We do have a presentation that includes several slides on the issue of baiting. I would need to ask Jerry real quick if he brought forward which percentage.
Okay, I guess
was on
just
pro or con.
I'm making a decision on it. I'm going, okay, if I'm for it, if there's 1,500, I'm going to say there's 1,300. That's where I'm going to say it's helpful to us to know
right
where people fell.
So
on which
my
side.
Recollection of the data is in our non-random surveys, that where it was just open for public comment, we had of 80 plus percent were not in favor of making any, were in favor of making no change. They wanted no change.
Okay.
We had we had this issue in front of a randomly selected group of hunters, randomly selected deer and elk hunters separately, and asked them the same question, and it was more of a 50-50 go.
Thank you.